Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Stephen Hall is our guest. Stephen has been with us before. He's the president of Food Marketing International. He helps people who are interested in making and selling food products and put their best foot forward in the marketplace. He's got a book that's outstanding called Sell Your Specialty Food. And as I say, he's our friend. Stephen, welcome back to the show.
Morning. Thanks. Glad to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back. And I got to congratulate you, Stephen. I mean, you got lots of cool things going on in your life, but you had a nice little attaboy, a little warm fuzzy that somebody kind of important sent you last week. Tell us about that.
It's Oprah's O Magazine mentioned it in the December issue of the magazine and said that the book is the go-to book for anyone interested in starting a specialty food firm.
Wow. Congratulations.
That's very nice. Thank you very much. Appreciate
that. When Oprah mentions you, that's golden.
We hope so. Unless it just happened last week.
Well, you know, we don't have chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate show here, Stephen. And I don't think Oprah has chopped liver in her magazine either. So that's a pretty good plug. So congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Okay, one of the things I know you've been doing recently is working with farmers.
Yes.
There have been some paradigms shifting for small farmers. We used to just call them farmers. I was a farmer once, Stephen. I grew up on a farm, and I know about the blood of a farmer. I know about the DNA of a farmer. If it's springtime, it's where I'm supposed to be planting, and if it's fall, I'm supposed to be harvesting. And in the cold winter, I'm supposed to be getting my equipment ready so I can plant again. That's the kind of in the DNA, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So what are they doing? How are things going for them these days?
Well, the ones we were working with in Kentucky are challenged by the fact they no longer grow tobacco. One, two. When they did grow tobacco, they didn't have to market.
Why aren't they growing tobacco?
Because the big firms have all bought up the. There's a lower demand on the one, and there's also sort of cultural aversion to tobacco. But there's the.
So it's not. And folks, I know you might be saying, "Well, duh, Blasingame," but I mean, I just think that we need to point this out. It's the, as you say, lower demand. But also it's not as PC anymore to grow tobacco, is it?
No, and there's a fall off in what I believe were a government payments that were made to farmers not to
the
grow
subsidies.
In some cases, subsidies, right?
Yeah.
So they never had to really market the product. They just grew it and it was bought.
Yeah.
So now they have products, raspberries or blueberries and so forth, and they have to face the whole challenge of responding to a market that wants value-added products because their goal is to maintain their lifestyle on the farm, how to sustain it.
You know, one of the reasons why. One of the reasons we get wonderful apples from the Northwest is because of Prohibition. The people who were growing grapes back in the turn of the century to make wine had to stop doing it because of Prohibition. So they turned those farms into grape farms.
Into
apple orchards, I should say.
Right.
And
well,
people do what they got to do, and that's what you're helping these folks do. So what were your recommendations to them?
Well, the first steps they're taking are sort of pick-your-own programs or farm stands on their own property, or they go to some regional farmer's market. But my recommendation to them is that's only going to, you know, fill half the barrel.
You can't make a 365-day living off of that.
No, they have to take the blueberries, for example, and make a blueberry salsa. It's a value-added product. And then market that around the country through the retail distribution channels in what is called the specialty food trade. And that's what the book is all about, how to do that.
So what you're saying is that in the old paradigm of farming, as I said earlier, you plant in the spring, you harvest in the fall, you sell it, and you collect enough money to do you till you harvest and sell again. And of course, farmers have always been, they've always known about, you know, that's the reason why you have farmers who even though they have row crops, they also have cattle they can sell during the year. They maybe, you know, have butter and eggs, you know, that they sell all during the year. And they have a garden, they have a truck patch. I don't know where you come from, but in some parts of the country, there's something called a truck patches,
yes.
which is where they just sell vegetables, as you say, at the corner. So farmers have always known how to do this. But they've always had that, most of the time they've had that big product, right? Corn or wheat or cotton or whatever it might be. And some of those things have changed quite a bit. And so what you're saying is find something you can package that you can put on a shelf and it can be transported across the country.
Yes.
Maybe exactly. Even internationally.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
That's what we talk about during the workshops, and that's what Cellular Specialty Food is all about.
Mm-hmm.
It all works in very nicely. It's a good time, too, because not only are farmers looking to way to develop sustainability, but a lot of people looking for ways of adding income to their families because of all this mess that's going on in our economy. And this,
yep.
is, the way, this is the way, you know, you can do it. It's tractable. You can put your arms around it. You don't have to invest millions of dollars to do it.
And isn't the timing right for this, Stephen? Aren't people wanting to get back to organic foods? You know, I'm looking for non manufactured eggs when I buy eggs,
right.
I'd like to get the kind of eggs that I used to get when I was growing up on a farm, and I look for those things, and you know what, I can find them.
Well, you know, that's kind of interesting you should mention that, because there has been a upward trend in terms of organic foods until this year, but because of the economy, people are now not spending the extra money for organic, so there's a fall off in that.
It costs a little bit more, doesn't it?
It costs a little bit more, and what they're doing, they're buying local, though. There is a local, buy local
yeah,
trend,
yeah.
which means that you get usually fresher product. But for some reason, it's not as pliable or as elastic as we thought it would be. So
mm-hmm.
they're foregoing organic for the old stuff, for the moment anyway, until the economy picks up.
Somebody introduced me to organic peanut butter a while back, and we bought some, and it is really good.
I'd imagine it'd be quite different taste, too.
It does, but it's better.
Better taste, yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
yeah. It's better.
Yeah, no, that's
better. And you can find these things in grocery stores, even if you don't have a Whole Foods near you or whatever the other competitors are. You can find in your regular grocery store, you can find these things. And in every grocery store you go to, you can find a locally packaged product, can't you, of some kind?
Yes, and there's a greater tendency of that, greater trend in that direction.
More and more grocery stores are allowing that, and look for, you know, I interviewed a guy on the show a while back who had just started Cape Cod Chips.
Oh, yes, I met him.
He had just started it, and he was only selling in the Cape Cod, Massachusetts area. The other day, I was in the middle of America, and I saw one of his trucks go by. How about that for a great success story? Kettle Chips. Just like what Stephen talks about. 20 after, right back with Stephen Hall. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. When you get there, don't forget to check out all the other things there on our new websites. Only about a month old. Relaunched our site with a whole new look, all new technologies, lots of new technology to help you use our stuff better. And from smallbusinessadvocate.com, you can link to my blog or just go to jimsblog.biz if you want. I think you'll like that, too. And then, of course, our knowledge base, AskJim.biz. Stephen F. Hall is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's our good friend and the author of Sell Your Specialty Food. Stephen, tell us how we can find your book.
Any library and Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. And you can go to the website, which is SpecialtyFoodResource.com. And you may want to ask your listeners to consider asking their state's Department of Agriculture to consider sponsoring one of our workshops.
There you go. Now there are incubators. There are food incubators around the country, aren't there?
Yes. And we have that in the resource section at SpecialtyFoodResource.com.
Where they are?
Yes, where they're located, and they can email me, and I'll be happy to.
They're wonderful things. I've got one in my community that's one of the models of the country, and I'll tell you, it's wonderful to have a place where people can go, and without making a big commitment, see if they can make it with their products.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a growing phenomenon. It's a good one too.
Because you've got to, if you're cooking stuff and if you're serving food, you've got to comply with all the regulations that the big guys do.
Well, at some point you certainly do, especially if you're
for
serving
quality,
meat,
for quality
fish.
And wholesomeness and things like
well,
that.
Safety primarily.
Yes.
More than anything
else. Uh-huh. All those things.
So,
have I told you my story? I think I probably may have, but if I let me tell it again. There's a Tennessee company that makes and sells salsa. And their biggest customer is a supermarket in Mexico. Isn't that a wonderful story? Think about that. A Tennessee salsa maker sells their salsa in Mexico.
That's terrific.
Now talk about ice to Eskimos, huh?
That's great.
It can be done. What else you got for us? See, what other things do we need to know about specialty foods?
It's a growing and very constantly changing industry. It's fraught with all kinds of turmoil and there's a great high failure rate, but it keeps going on. There are 4,000 or 5,000 new specialty food products introduced each year, what you can do with chocolate is amazing. A chocolate jalapeno and there are 179 different brands of tea out there and all kinds of extra virgin olive oil. So it's an exciting market, but it's constantly changing because we're a very fickle consumer and lots of opportunity.
Well, don't you have to just sort of, isn't the key to this to say, okay, I'm not, my goal's not going to be to conquer the world. I'm going to make something good. I don't have to have the world to be successful. That's the thing I keep telling small business owners, Stephen. You don't have to have the world. Like, you don't have to be like Walmart. If Walmart doesn't have the world, they go out of business. Small business owners, we can have a couple of hands full of customers and kind of hang in there and do all right.
Yes, you can. That's a much greater freedom than Walmart to do that, or General Foods, for example.
Yeah.
So that is very true. You can keep changing prices and products and labels and brands and so forth, and it'll work.
Well, and you don't have to have everybody. Just and this is the kind of business, and it seems to me, Stephen, that you should grow organically. You should grow with your customers growing, customers telling you, and you got to when you're in your marketing, you got to rely on word of mouth, don't you?
Big time. Yes,
tell us about that.
Well, it's the most cost effective way of doing it is making sure that people say, hey, I was in that store and I got this, or giving is it a gift, for example. I think it's terrific.
What about this? What about this for marketing? What if when somebody comes to buy from you, and then they come back and I've done this. I mean, my wife and I, we buy things like this from local people, and when we like their stuff, we seek them out. We go back and buy more from them. And what if when they know I've come back, what if they say, Jim, do you have people? Do you have friends you think might like this, our stuff? And I would say yes. And they say, well, here, if I give you this bottle, would you give it to one of them? What do you think about that, Stephen?
That's a great way of doing it. That's, as a matter of fact, the most effective advertising you can do is give your product away.
Yeah. What's that going to cost you? 50 cents? And would you spend 50 cents to get another customer like me?
Yeah, and it'd be a lot better than having it sit on the shelf.
That'd be a good deal, and that's what I mean by organically, right? That's growing your business organically.
Yes, good point. Good way of describing that.
And isn't that and that kind of thing is good for every small business, not just for food especially.
I agree.
Last thoughts, Steve. We've got about a minute. What other pearls of wisdom do you have for us for food entrepreneurs?
Now's the time. If you're in the West Coast, you might want to get to the San Francisco Fancy Food Show.
Ooh.
In January.
Can I eat there? Is there food to eat there?
Well, yes, they do taste it. It's for the trade only, but you can always get in. You just show them a business card and say that you're in the trade. And that can be an eye-opener. This is a good time. Make sure you plan.
Yeah. And how about talking to other people who are already doing it and find somebody who will tell you the mistakes they made so you don't have to make them. What do you think about that?
A number of states have specialty food associations, specialty food marketing associations. They get together.
Yeah.
They're very open. Everything's at arm's length. It's really terrific. It's amazing how candid they all can be and sharing ideas.
Small business is a fraternity. People want to help other people.
Very much so.
We're good people, right? Like you and me, Stephen, huh?
Absolutely.
Hey, give us that website again, please. Stephen, give us your website again.
SpecialtyFoodResource.com.
All right. Hey, Stephen, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you,
Jim. See
you next
time.
Take care.
His book is called Sell Your Specialty Food, Wherever Books Are Sold. Oprah liked it. How about that? Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back after these messages. I spend a lot of money and I spend
a lot of time. Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.